Thank you, Jonathan.
I read a little cartoon last week on the internet. It was a little boy talking with the girl next door. They're at a at their fence in between their houses. And the little boy said, I wonder what my mom would like for Mother's Day this year. The little girl answered, she said, well, you could promise to keep your room clean and orderly, or you could go to bed as soon as you're told, or you could brush your teeth before bed, and you could quit fighting with your little sister, especially at the dinner table. The boy in the cartoon, he shook his head, and he looked very puzzled, and he said, no, I was thinking something more practical than that. Moms, we know that we drive you crazy, not just when we're kids, but when we grow up too. And this morning, we want to celebrate and honor you this morning. And I'm talking to all the ladies of the church. I know many of you are biological mothers and you are biological grandmothers, but let me tell you, being a part of the kingdom of God, every single one of you are spiritual mothers to the kids in this church. And I know that by the way the kids talk about each and every one of you. I know firsthand with Jaden, our five-year-old, when he talks about you, it's always my Pam, my Belinda. We were on vacation in California. I can't remember what he had. He had some little thing that Nancy gave him. And somebody was saying, well, my Nancy gave me that. Like they should know who his Nancy is. And you ladies, whether you know it or not, you are raising children in this church. And I know some of you have already raised kids. They're grown up. They live out of state. Some of them live out of town. But you have children in this place. So I'd like to address all the ladies of the church this morning, each and every one of you, for who you are, what you do. And I'm not going to give you any new instruction probably today that you don't already know, but I hope through the scripture that we read today and through some of the words that are preached, I hope that you are encouraged to continue doing what you are doing and to know that you have been placed on this planet for a very special reason. God saw that it was not fit for man to do everything by himself. He knew we couldn't do it. He knew we couldn't raise children. He knew we couldn't have children. He knew we couldn't do the things that you do in the home and out of the home, in the church, and in our communities. You are very, very special, hand-picked, hand-created by God to do what you do. And the kingdom would never, ever be the same again when God created woman. So we celebrate you today. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 20. And I want to read a story about a mother who kind of gets picked on a lot. She's not even liked by a lot of the disciples, we find out. She angers them. And it's interesting, though, who this lady was and how Jesus interacts with her. Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 20, says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of Jesus. What is it you want? Jesus asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you are asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I am going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Now, it might be strange to consider this text for a Mother's Day message, but like I said, when you really think about it, it's actually a perfect text for Mother's Day. We got a woman here who is absolutely crazy about her boys. We know from history that the sons of Zebedee were James and John. This is the mother of James and John. They were two of the first three chosen by Jesus to be his disciples. We also know by reading Mark chapter 15 that their mother's name was Salome, S-A-L-O-M-E. She comes to Jesus, kneeling at his feet, appearing very humble before the Lord, and notice what she says. I have a favor to ask of you. She's not demanding. She's not in Jesus' feet, or in his face. And he says, "What's that?" He simply says, "What's that?" Then notice what she said. "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left." It can be very easy to look at this woman and say, "Well, who do you think you are? Who do you think your boys are? Why are they so much more worthy to sit at the right and the left hand of Jesus himself?" And this woman, I've heard in sermons, I've heard in Sunday school classes, the people get upset with this lady, and she gets a bad rap. But you see, the first attribute that I see when we talk about good moms, in this lady, she always believes her kids are the best. I believe with all my heart, every good mama out there, including spiritual mamas in the church, believe that their kids are the best. I would venture to say, if I asked you ladies, raise your hand if you think your kid is the best at school, the best at sports, the best good looking, the best whatever, a lot of you would raise your hands. I remember, I don't know if Mary remembers because she was drugged up when Joel was born. But when Joel was born, the nurse was going to go get Joel in the nursery. And there were several babies in the nursery, and the nurse wanted to look at Mary's tag and look at her. Well, Mary kind of loopy from the medicine. So what do you need that for? She said, "Well, I got to make sure I bring you the right baby." And Mary said, "Oh, she's the pretty one." As if to say, she's the best one in the nursery. And mamas from the very beginning believe that their babies are the best, and they can identify their babies in a crowd. It amazed me. Again, in the nursery at the hospital, Mary's down the hall from the nursery. Here's a baby crying, and she said, "That's Joel, go get her." I looked at Mary, and I'm like, "What? There's 10 babies in there. How do you know that's Joel?" I went down to the nursery, and that was Joel crying in the nursery. Mamas know their babies, and they believe with all their heart that that baby is the best. Other kids are all right. I understand that. But yours are better than those kids. When you're the mom, your kids are the smartest, the brightest, the most talented, and the best athlete out there on the field. And that's okay. I want you to know that, moms. That's okay to believe with everything that you are that your baby, your grandbaby, is the best one out there. The best one in school, the best one out on the playing field, the best one at church reading the scripture, whatever it is, that is okay, because those kids need to know that no matter what, you're behind them, that you're rooting for them. And when the rest of the world tells them they're not very good at it or they're behind or whatever, they can look to you and know that I'm something in somebody's eyes. I used to love playing baseball when I was a kid. Reese gets that from me, and I wasn't half as good as Reese is, and I struck out a lot, and there'd be baseball games I'd get in the car, and I'd be sad, and Mom was like, "What's wrong?" I said, "Didn't you see? I just struck out every time I went up to bat." My mom's response was, "But yeah, you look the best doing it." Thanks, Mom. You look the best in your uniform, and you had the best swing. But I didn't hit the ball, Mom. Doesn't matter. You look the best. In what she was saying, doesn't matter. You're my baby. You're coming home with me. It is okay for your kids to know that you believe in with all your heart that they are the best, that they're the best at everything that they do. I guarantee you, Salome here in our story, Salome, whatever you want to call her, was going to stick up for her kids. She was going to support her two boys. Even Jesus knew how to answer this proud mom. He didn't tell her, "You're sinning by asking this." He didn't get mad at her. He didn't get upset with her. He didn't get indignant with her like the disciples did. He didn't say, "Woman, I've got other disciples that are twice as good as your two boys." He didn't say that "You don't know what you're thinking here." He very politely answered, "I don't think you really know what you're asking." And she didn't, but she wanted the very best for her very best boys. Yes, moms always believe their kids are the best. Always. And that is a sign of a good mom. Hear that, all you ladies. Be the biggest cheerleader for the kids in this church, especially the ones that live in your homes or the ones that you call grandbabies. Nobody is going to cheer for your kids in the world the way mama does. Dads, they can yell and scream and holler at the baseball field. Dads very rarely talk about grades and stuff at school. Boy, moms did. My mom did anyway. I was raised by a school teacher. But even when the grades weren't the best and I got in trouble, there was always that voice, Joel, you are the smartest one in that class and your grades aren't reflecting it. And mom's like, you are the smartest one there. You are the best one there. And moms always continue to pray and pray and pray that God will develop those best qualities in their children. Now, moms aren't dumb. They don't truly believe that there's nobody out there smarter. There's nobody out there better. But in their eyes, my baby's special. And from day one, good mamas pray for their babies. And I want to encourage you moms to continue to pray for your children. There is something about the power of prayer in mothers that it just seems God just pays attention. I'm not saying he doesn't pay attention to any other people. But I have watched the prayers of mamas get exactly what they ask for. As a man and as a husband, as a father, I've learned I don't pray in specifics so much anymore. I let God do what God wants to do. But man, moms, they ask Jesus for specific things. And it happens. I found out on my grandma's deathbed that from the day she had three grandsons, the day each one of us were born, she began to pray to God to make all three of us in full-time Christian ministry. All three of them. All three of us today are in full-time Christian ministry. There's something in the power of prayer with moms and grandmas that God honors. So mamas, keep loving those babies. Keep thinking they're the best. Don't be afraid to go to the throne of God and ask for specific things for those children. Ask God to continue to protect them. Ask God to continue to grow them. Make them wiser. Make them better looking. Make them whatever you want in the eyes of God. And the next thing I think that we see from this wonderful woman who asked some pretty big things of Jesus was that we see that good moms always want their children to go to heaven. Those are the two biggest things. Moms believe their kids are the best, and a good mom wants their babies to go to heaven. These moms that have personal relationships with Jesus Christ, their number one priority from the day that baby is born is I got to get them to heaven. I got to get them to know the God that I know. I got them to get them to know the Jesus I know. The only way, the only life, eternal life offered is through Jesus. Listen to what this mother said. She said, in your kingdom. She asked Jesus, I want these boys to sit next to you in your kingdom. She was planning on her children being with the Lord for eternity. There was no doubt in her mind. She knew that Jesus was the way. She wouldn't have asked it if she didn't think so. And that was a priority to her. She wanted her babies to live with God for all of eternity. There is no doubt in my mind that this mom encouraged her two boys to have a personal relationship with God. You couldn't do it any other way. This lady knew who God was. She was convinced that Jesus was the way. And she wanted her boys to be with him forever, for all eternity. She might have even sat her boys down one day and said, you know, you might not be at the top of the graduating class. None of these disciples were. If they were, they would be in rabbi school. You may not be the fastest boy in school. You may not be the best athlete. But I want you to know God. I want you to know, and I want you to serve the Lord that I serve. I want you to make it to heaven and enjoy eternal life. Moms, is that your number one priority for the children in your life? Don't forget, I'm speaking to all ladies in the church right now. Is your number one prayer that the kids that you are involved with in your life is that they know Jesus and they're going to be with him in heaven someday? Are you praying for them? Are you teaching them? Are you showing them by the example that you live, that everything you do, the way you serve your husband, the way you serve your family, the way you serve your church, the way you serve your community, that it's all for Jesus? And do your children understand why you are serving Jesus? What is it that he's done in your life? Let me tell you, those kids are watching you. Even the ones that don't live in your home are watching you because they talk about you. They do in my home, and I'm sure they do in other people's homes. And they love you, and they're very special to you, and they follow you, and they emulate you. Moms, of all things you can do for your children, the greatest thing you could ever do, beyond clothing them, beyond feeding them, beyond sheltering them, the best thing you could ever do is to encourage them to have a personal relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And you got to make that very clear, because your kids are living in a world that tells them there's many ways to heaven. There's many ways to God. And that is a lie. And you as a mother need to teach that, show that, make sure they understand that. When they're out of their home, they have an understanding. There is only one way to the Father. There is only one who died for them. There is only one who has the power to forgive them, in Jesus. I find it very interesting, too, that even the wealthy of the wealthy, Henry Heinz, the owner of Heinz Ketchup, Heinz 57, at one time, he was one of the wealthiest men in the country. And when his will was read, it was found to contain these following words. I'm not going to read the entire will. But at the beginning of his will, it read this: "Looking forward to the time when my earthly career will end, I desire to set forth at the very beginning of this will, as the most important item in it, a confession of my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I also desire to bear witness to the fact that throughout my life, in which there were unusual joys and sorrows, I have been wonderfully sustained by my faith in God through Jesus Christ. This legacy was left me by my consecrated mother, a woman of strong faith, and to it attribute any success I have attained." Here is a man that the rest of the country looked to. As a man of power, as a man of wealth, as a man of wisdom, a man of understanding, acknowledging to the world that if it had not been for his faith in Jesus Christ, he would have nothing. And he is acknowledging to the world where he gained his faith in Jesus Christ through his mother. That was the most important thing to that woman, was that her son knew that wealth wasn't going to get him to heaven, power wasn't going to get him to heaven. All his possessions were not going to buy his way into eternal life, but his relationship with Jesus Christ. I've been in ministry long enough to understand, and I've been in youth ministry long enough. I very, very rarely saw a dad bring their kid to youth group by himself. I saw hundreds of mothers walk into the youth group by herself with her children in her hands, making sure that their kids had an understanding and a chance to meet Jesus Christ. I even had one woman who so loved her kids so much, she would never walk in the church, but every Sunday she dropped her kids off at church. And finally I asked her, I said, "How come you never come in with your kids?" And in her worldly understanding, she said, "It's too late for me, but I want my kids to have a chance. I want my kids to have a chance to know God and to be with God." Even in her worldly understanding, she wanted her kids to know God. We have mothers here who know God. And I want to encourage you, continue to pray for our kids. We don't have a ton of them up here, but they're the ones God gave you in this church right now. Lift them up every single day. I love the patches. I hope some of you kept them. That patches that that Nancy gave us a month or two ago. It says, "Have you prayed today?" I put mine right in front of my computer screen in my office. I hope you kept those. Number one thing, did I pray for my kids today? That should be on your list. And daddies, you'd be well to listen to that one. Did I pray for the children of the church today? And I know that some of you don't have kids living in your house right now. But you know who all the kids are that stand up in front Sunday after Sunday. And you know them all by name, I'm sure, by now. Pray for each and every one of them. From our oldest, which I think is Joel right now, to Logan, our youngest, right now. Pray for each and every one of them, that God protects them, guides them, directs them. But most importantly, that they will know him, love him, and want to serve him. So ladies, to you this morning, I want to say thank you, and I want to encourage you, continue on believing that our kids are the best. The Waterford Church of Christ kids, they're the best. They're the best ones out there. And believe with all your heart they're going to go to heaven. And help them get there. Help them get there. Because let me tell you, parents, it's tough to do it, especially in the world we live in today with so much competition. It's hard to do it by yourself. And I know the parents out there need help, and we have some wonderful help raising our kids. Keep doing it, ladies. We love you, we encourage you, and we thank you for who you are in our homes and in the kingdom. This morning, we have a kind of a unique opportunity. I can't think of a better, well, I say that a lot. Every Sunday is a good Sunday to make a decision for Jesus Christ. Don't do it to please mom. Don't do it to please anybody. But if you've been given knowledge and understanding of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for you, man, today's your day. You need to be coming running up here this morning. Throw your hands in the air and say, "I surrender. I surrender all that I am to Jesus. And I want to give my life to him, and I want to accept a life of forgiveness and a life of grace. And I want to be baptized in his baptism." We offer you that today. For the rest of you who have already done that, and praise the Lord you've done that, I encourage you to take what we listened to this morning, especially in the text. Be reminded who we are in the kingdom. We are spiritual parents in the kingdom. There's always somebody younger than you spiritually in the kingdom. Take them underneath you. Pray for them. And they don't have to be 6 years old or 8 years old. I'm 45 years old, and I still need a mentor and somebody to love me and care for me. Pray for them. Encourage them. Help grow them. Teach them. And make sure they're on the path to heaven. I want to encourage you that. Would you make that commitment to God this morning as well? Let's stand and let's sing "Living for Jesus." What an appropriate song.